Check out more great shows at Pride48.com.
Whatever happened to things ending with the taking the poop?
What?
We're you know, like when you have like do 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 do.
Oh, I don't know. Whatever did happen to that?
I don't know. I used to like that. It's just like a little tick it up.
So it was like a percussion.
Yeah, yeah, a little tick it up.
Tick it up.
Yep, tick it up. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I don't know if we can do this. More importantly, I don't know if we should do this.
Do what?
But we're going to try it anyway. I need to be able to share my screen. Can you please turn on your... By the way, are we off of YouTube and...
We're off of YouTube, yeah.
Okay, cool.
And we're not recording.
Coo-coo-coo. Am I able to share my screen now?
Oh, I don't know. Are you? Oh, let me stop recording. Allow.
Recording stopped.
Recording stopped. All right, I'm going to share this with you. I am sharing this with you. Can you see this?
Yes.
This is what the kids call a mind map. So I have the first 60 episodes of Dubious Intent Plus fed into this notebook.
Yeah.
And the mind map gives us these paths we can take, Adam. So I need you to pick a path for me. Do you want to go to podcast production, recurring segments, personal lives of hosts, or miscellaneous topics?
I'll take recurring segments for 200, Alex.
Now, do you want the celebrity death phone, birthdays, tech segment, news stories, or listener interaction? We hadn't even named it contact back then. So
let's look at listener interaction.
Listener interaction. Do you want voicemails, emails, chat room, or iTunes reviews?
Oh, let's look at iTunes reviews.
iTunes. Now this is the end of the map here. So I'm going to click on this and it's actually going to generate a question to the LLM over here of discuss what these sources say about iTunes reviews in the larger context of listener interaction. So it's now going through all 60 of our episodes that I've given it here, the first 60 episodes of Dubious Intent Plus, and it is pulling out what we said about iTunes reviews. I probably should have given you a heads up of how this was going to work, because like earlier I followed down a trade and I saw some mention of my first apartment in Connecticut smelling, but had bad smells and horrible sounds. And I'm like, oh my God, I remember that. It's like, I remember that stupid fucking apartment. It's kind of fun, at least for us, because it's our memories. To take these little jaunts down.
Lamont says, remember those 206 numbers everyone used to have? They could get faxes too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We used to get faxes. We would read them on Dubious Intent. All right. It's taking a while to do this. So here's one that I pre-did. And I had gone through our personal, the host personalized everything. I'd come up with this hookups, heartbreak, and connection.
I'm offended. Adam frequently discusses his engagement in casual sexual encounters and one night stands. How dare you?
Often facilitated, sir, by apps like Grindr. It's footnoted. It even tells you what show you said that. He uses Grindr for casual encounters, acknowledging that it excels at finding people for which to have casual sex with or people to hang out with rather than long-term dating. He expresses a desire for consistent sexual partners without the commitment of a full relationship, noting he would like to, quote, have sex if I need sex and is looking for just one regular trick or a fuck buddy.
Sure. At the time, I mean, at that time I was, because that was...
But then it gets into a whole paragraph of like how picky you were about it. There was an anecdote in here where there was some guy that showed up at your door and was talking about topping and bottom, and you just were over him, and you were just like, leave. I have nothing more to do with you.
Wow, it talks a lot about my sex life. Is that all I used to talk about?
You did. You talked about your sex life a lot.
The first 60 episodes.
Daniel, Adam's co-host, also engages in humorous takes on casual encounters, offering to get people to show up in Google Hangouts to watch you get naked and compliment you on it.
Still about me, though.
The host mentioned foam parties as places for naked boys and sexual activity, especially in all male clubs. Despite his history, Adam faces significant difficulties in finding and maintaining new relationships. He notes that his attempts at dating after moving to Arkansas didn't go so well. One date involved sex, but quickly led to the man discussing his ex, while another was too shy and quiet. He expresses frustration with dating, concluding that guys are too much trouble and citing his busy schedule as a barrier. Oh, this was the guy. Yeah, a notable dating. He involved a man he met on Grindr who lied about his age, was typically interested in much younger men, and immediately asked about anal sex, leading Adam to quickly end the potential relationship. Do you have any idea what that is?
Not really. I mean, it rings a bell, but not anything specific. Like, I'm not sure.
All right. Well, it did a piss poor job of this over here. So let me go back to our mind map. So let's go to some other topic. The personal lives of the hosts.
Let's go to Daniel.
Okay. Relationship with Robert, moving to Connecticut, home and apartment issues, work and technology, or family dynamics.
Relationship with Robert.
Let's see. In the larger context of it, so it's gonna try. Let's see if it spits back anything here. It's not doing very good as a demo, is it?
It's not.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, okay. Daniel Brewer's relationship with Robert is a consistent and significant aspect discussed in the sources, providing a counterpoint to Adam's dating experiences and offering insight into Daniel's personal life within a larger context of his public persona and views on relationships. Daniel and Robert have been together for almost 8 years. Daniel is a married man, having been married for 8 years. He often jokes about their established relationship, contrasting it with Adam's dating struggles. Oh, I had the tables have turned. Their connection was immediate. As Daniel mentions, they had sex on the first date. They live together in Connecticut. They jointly manage household finances. Their current apartment is disliked by Daniel due to issues like a lingering curry smell, lack of hot water in the morning, and unresponsive management. Daniel expresses a strong desire to move if Robert secures a new job, willing to forfeit their deposit to leave. Yeah, that was that first apartment we lived in. Oh, I hated that fucking thing. Daniel's father's health issues, including a brain tumor and radiation treatment, are discussed, and Robert is mentioned as being supportive. Let's see. They recently acquired new cars. Oh, God. Just got out from underneath that. Daniel named his car Joe in Dallas.
Did you name your car Joe in Dallas?
Because it was black. It was the black one.
Oh, I see.
Let's see. They were both taking Chantix to quit smoking. I forgot that we did. We took Chantix to quit smoking. although I'll tell you that the biggest impetus to us quitting smoking was the price of cigarettes in Connecticut. They were like $9 a pack. It was like, wait, you're telling me that every week I would go through $110 in a cart in cigarettes? It's like, and both of us smoke, so that'd be like $220 a week in cigarettes.
Yeah, that's quite a bit of money.
That's insane. So all that, these are the good years of the relationship. It hasn't gotten to the point where the relationship went south. While Daniel often projects an asshole persona, he uses his relationship with Robert to highlight his capacity for empathy and kindness, especially when discussing situations where he feels a personal connection, even to fictional characters. What are you talking about?
You were talking about conscience and feeling empathetic for conscience.
Oh, that was when Vera was bullying conscience. Let's see. Daniel views a relationship as a testament to compromise, stating that if you're unwilling to make any kind of compromise, then you're not going to be in a relationship. This reflects his psychological insight into relationships. This AI loves me.
He tells anybody, but he has a degree in psychology.
AI loves me.
So basically, the AI thinks I'm a whore.
No, but here you go.
And thinks you're in, you're...
Adam states that he has met a new gentleman. He quickly clarifies that he met this person on Grindr and that he is from the Philippines. Adam refers to him as Twinkie Little Filipino Boy. Later in the same episode, Adam mentions that he said the guy didn't have a large penis and expresses...
Oops.
Anyway, I'm having a lot of fun with the notebook LM going through the history here. I don't know if you play with notebook LM at all?
I have not much. I have, but I don't often play with it. I'm just kind of stuck asking ChatGPT stuff.
So here's the new things that they've just done for Notebook LM. And by the way, anyone can use Notebook LM. This isn't a paid service. You can go to notebooklm.google.com. It's a Google product. And it is a RAG engine, right? So meaning that you can give it sources that it'll stay grounded in. So it's a, what is that called? Retrieval augmented generation. Yeah. So it's basically, it's going to use the sources that you give it to make all of its assumptions on. So you could give it a whole bunch of recaps about a TV show and then ask it to, explain the TV show to you or to give you some insights about the TV show or, to do a better recap than they did. But what happened here on Notebook LM is they just recently added in these global notebooks that everyone can use. And these are pre-built sources, right? So you could go into the William Shakespeare notebook here, and this has every single play that William Shakespeare wrote. And then you can ask questions about the plays, ask questions about the William Shakespeare plays. You could generate a podcast for it and have it, do the podcast. Also, by the way, they interviewed the developer, one of the developers of Notebook LM on Intelligent Machines this week. And those voices are real people. Like they trained, the reason that they sound so good together and the way that they interact together is they took like 7 pairs of voice actors and had them record hours of conversation where they interrupted each other and talked about things. And that pair was the one that sounded the most natural. And so they trained the voice models on their particular their particular style of interacting, which is why it works so well in English. But the problem that they had is when they started branching out to other languages, because different inflections are different in different languages, so they had to hire other voice actors in other countries to do their thing. But anyway, so you have the entire works of William Shakespeare here, and you can ask questions about it, right? Which that's kind of cool. They also have like How to Build a Life. This is a series of articles from The Atlantic, right? So using those 45 articles of an advice column or whatever, you can ask questions and it will answer in the style of that advice column person. Anyway, it's just kind of cool that they have these things. But the one that I have been playing with.
Secrets of Superagers. Some of us are going to be needing that soon.
Right. The Secret of the Superagent. And you can, it's probably already has the conversation. Let's see. I'm sure that because this is a public notebook, so you can't generate things in it, right? So I'm sure that this audio over, yeah, it's already done. All right, so here.
Let's welcome listen. To the deep dive. Today, we're plunging into a topic that truly impacts all of us. How to live well for longer. We're talking about extending your health span.
That's right. It's not just about adding years to your life, but crucially, adding life to your years.
Okay, so health span. What exactly does that mean?
Well, health span is that vital period where you're free from chronic diseases and debilitating conditions. It's about maintaining vitality.
So this is cool.
I feel like her name is Gina.
You can call
her. I don't know why. I feel like it's Gina.
But here's what I did the other day, which was the first time that I had done this on it. And I was like, that was really, really helpful. I have been, I was watching a talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he was talking about the AI revolution and that it's not the first time that we've had a massive disruption in technology, disrupting it and wiping out entire industries before. We've gone through this before many times. Like the automobile wiped out an entire industry of people that cared for horses and made horseshoes and you know, stagecoaches and things. So, by the way, Gina is called the Teamsters Union because they used to wrangle teams of horses.
Oh, I could have guessed probably, but yeah.
I didn't realize that Zach is a Teamster, and I didn't realize that until I saw the Magna in our refrigerator, and it has like two horses on the logo, and I'm like, why are there horses? Oh, because it was probably the Teams of Horses, and then I asked, and yeah, it was. But here's the thing. So what I did was, because what I was doing at work was testing deep research modes of different AIs.
Yeah.
So I took the, where is it here? So I took this prompt. I don't have the prompt. Let me get you the prompt because I want you to hear what I did. But at the same time, it was, God, I can't talk. I can't talk and click at the same time. Say something.
It's hard.
Say something while I look for this.
Auntie Scott says, I guess the sentence, oh yeah, that's when Vera was bullying the shit out of Conscience, should tell me how good I was at creating a character.
Yes.
So yes. You're very good at creating a character. Okay. How's Conscience doing, by the way?
He's dead. So I, this is the prompt that I gave for the research, AIs that I was testing, right? So, Persona, act as a historical and economic analyst specializing in technological disruptions in American life. Your tone should be friendly and approachable. You're going to be talking about complex issues, but you should simplify them enough that someone with a high school education could understand it. A good example of the type of tone I am thinking of would be Neil deGrasse Tyson. Your task, your primary goal is to identify and analyze major past technology disruption or technological disruptions, demonstrating their impact on employment and the economy to inform discussion about future advancements like AI. For each identified disruption, provide the following information: the disruption name, the primary technology, clearly state the name, the general time frame of the initial impact, the pace of the widespread adoption, obsolete jobs and industries, list 4 to 5 specific job titles that were made largely obsolete, briefly identify any industries that were significantly diminished or replaced, identify 4 to 5 broad categories of new jobs that emerged, identify 4 to 5 new industries, net employment and economic impact, right? So I'm asking it to do all of this stuff, and I'm asking it to put it out in a particular format, right? And I was doing all this And I ran it through Gemini 2.5 in deep research. I ran it through ChatGPT 4.5 in deep research. I ran it through ChatGPT 03 in deep research. I ran it through Copilot research, Copilot 365 at Work's research. And those are the only ones that I had paid accounts for that I could do the deep research on. But all of that is to test the new thing that I'm working on, which allows you to compare prompts, like, so you can actually use AI to analyze you give it the original prompt that you gave to all of them, and then you give them all the responses and you find who did a better job of, basically it scores them, right? And ranks them. So it was really interesting, the rankings. Do I have the rankings here? Like, I don't know that you care about any of this, because I've kind of like gone off on a tangent, because what I wanted to say, let me just do that. What I wanted to say was, I took all of these research articles that you just heard that I basically had, four different AIs research. I put all of those papers into Notebook LM. I also pointed it to articles about technological disruptions of job and economy from a couple of different websites that I had read news stories on. And then I had it generate this podcast that walked through all that stuff. And while I mowed the yard, that's what I listened to. So it was just kind of like one of those, you know, like, oh, this is something I'm really interested in. If there was a YouTube video or something about it, I would definitely watch it, but I don't. So I'll just have it generate a podcast for me about this area that I'm super interested in. And it did a really, really good job. It went through all of the, you know, the areas of disruption and stuff. And, it was really cool. So it's like, I'm kind of, Notebook LM, I feel like is definitely, it's just, it's so good at so many things. It's just, it's definitely
if I needed to research something, I feel like Notebook LM would be the right choice, just cause it's really easy to go in and add all your sources and then ask questions, you know, et cetera.
Yeah.
But all I do is all I do is ask stupid, you know, what's this plant I'm looking at, or, you know, stuff like that. So I generally just pull up ChatGPT on my phone or on my computer or whatever the case may be and talk to Alice.
Yeah.
And, you
can see here, while I've been watching Foundation, I wanted to, listen to a podcast about it. So I basically gave it a whole bunch of recaps. It's like, here's a bunch of recaps of the episode that I just watched. Now make me a, you know, let's talk about it. Like make a podcast talking about the episode. Which is great.
Oh, you could do that for Survivor.
Yeah, exactly.
You could put in all the articles and make a Survivor recap podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You could. Yes. That was my point. It's just like, you can take, yeah, it's just awesome. I love it. So
wonder when they're going to either shelve it or start charging for it.
I don't know, because it is so tied into the Google ecosystem. I think ultimately it's good for them. I don't know. It depends on how you see this playing out. If you're in the camp that believes that there's just going to be one or two winners, there's only going to be a couple of LLMs, you know, that win, then Google is just trying to get mind share, right? They're willing to take a loss for mind share. They're giving away a lot. It's like when you look at what you can do with Gemini for free, like the limits that you have in a free Gemini account are so high that it's like you could do almost everything in the free version of Gemini. Like you would not hit any limits, you know, in normal usage. They're giving all that away. It's like, you know, honestly, ChatGPT is giving that away too. By the way, were you curious about which research mode was better?
Yeah.
So I first posed the question to Gemini, just because it has a larger context window. So it's like, okay, so I've analyzed all these things, right? So it's like, The Gemini Report is the best. Its strength lies in its consistent, thesis-driven narrative and the integration of analytical concepts throughout the entire document, making it the most cohesive and insightful report. The second one is a surprise. It's the co-pilot, research agent that they offer. It provides a rich, specific data, and I'll show you like why these two are so much better. It provides rich, specific data in clear format and concludes with outstanding lessons learned and blah, blah, blah. The second GPT report, which is the 4.5, it was good. A significant improvement over the first version. This report is rich with facts and blah, blah, blah. And then the worst was ChatGPT-03, right? Which is supposed to be their reasoning one.
Yeah.
This is the overall, right? So the richness of information, ChatGPT is getting the most basic information. It seems like it's reversed because it keeps getting more down this way. So I think, I see what they're saying. So this is just a dumb way of wording it. But basically, yeah, 03 was the worst. Then for the same exact rank. Basically.
Yeah.
Clarity of explanation. Both of the ChatGPT reports were good. The Copilot report was better, and it included extra things, which made it better. And then the Gemini report gave graphs and stuff. It was the only one that like made graphs and stuff for it. Engagement. You can see all this. So, but I just wanted to make sure that, you know, Gemini wasn't just giving itself a good grade.
Right.
So I went over to ChatGPT and gave it all the papers and asked it to rank them. So let's see. It did. This.
You did a news quiz. You did a news quiz, chat, July 2025.
Yeah.
You asked it to ask you questions.
Yeah, I did.
Were you prepping for
I just wanted to see what it was going to spit back because your thing wasn't working last week. Whatever. Anyway, so it does this table like thing here, right? So it's it gave the winner, right? This is ChatGPT now. So it's saying that the winner for the richness of information is between 4.5 and Gemini. Clarity is between, it's saying that 4.5 is the winner. Engagement, it's saying that 4.5 is the winner. Overall quality and accuracy, wow, it's saying that 4.5 is the winner. I'm like, I don't know that I believe you because I want to show you what it actually produced because that to me is the proof of the pudding, as they say. Is it the proof in the pudding or proof of the pudding?
You know how you could test it is don't tell it who the label them, A, B, C, and D.
Yeah.
And then say,
I would have to remove because they have branding on. I'll show them to you. It's like here. So This is the, all right. So I need to.
Oh, hi. It's Kathy Marshall.
Hi, Kathy Marshall. So here, let me show you the, from what I feel was the worst to the best. All right. So here's the chat. Here's the 03.
Uh-huh.
Can you see that?
Yes.
So the 03, you can see it's, you know, it's got the GPT logo and, you know, it starts off immediately with section one, the Industrial Revolution, right? Two, the railroad. Three, electrician, right? So it's an 11-page research paper that it's just pretty, to me, it's just pretty basic. Because if you look at what happens with GPT 4.5, this is a 14-page paper. And you'll see that it's got a little bit different formatting, right? So it's kind of like got a little bit of bullet, you know, it's got a couple of bullet points. It's a little bit, you know, meatier.
Annotations.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, they all have their sources. Yeah, they all list sources at the end. And so all of those bookmarks are sources and stuff. All right. So I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. So then this is the surprise one. I threw it into Copilot Research, right? This is what Copilot Research came back with. It comes back with an illustration showing the...
That's prettier.
Here's the illustration of what we're going to talk about in the timelines, and it put it into chronological order. It goes in, it does the Industrial Revolution. You see it's nice and bullet pointed out. Everything is very clearly labeled, right? This is a 24-page report goes into all of these areas. It did a really good job. I was very impressed with it. The other thing that it did is at the end, after it went through all of its sections, it gave us this is lessons learned for the future, which it picked up contextually from my prompt, right? And it's like, here's the key lessons, right? And it made a little graph, a little image of the key lessons. Like, this is just a JPEG or whatever, but it, you know, new technology doesn't equal long-term unemployment, short-term pain, long-term gain. You know, it's like all of these things here, and it bullet points them out. And then of course it gives all the footnotes, everything. It used the least number of sources of any of them. It only used 13. But to me, the winner was Gemini 2.5. This is Gemini 2.5. So it's a 33-page report. Yeah. These are all the exact same prompt. So it's like I did not vary the prompt at all. So this is a 33-page report. You can see that it's got it has an intro. It's the only one that did an introduction. Well, I guess Copilot did with the, you know, with the table of content kind of thing there, but it does a very in-depth introduction where it talks about the we're going to use Joseph Schumpeter's concept of creative destruction and the dynamic process, right? It's like, it's gone off and, you know, it's setting up a narrative. It's very, you know, it's engaging to read. It's actually, you know, a good read. You come down here to the, you know, the first great displacement, the mechanization of agriculture, blah, blah, blah. And at the end of this section, you'll see here, it's like, oh, here's a little graph, right? So you can see, you know, the percentage of labor force and farming, the total number. Do you know that in 1880, 49% of the population was employed in agriculture?
I didn't know that, but I'm not surprised, but no, I didn't know that.
And it dropped to 21% by 1930. And today it's like less than 2%. But you know, it did that. It made a graph at the end of every little section, like the assembly line, what was the next one? The automobile, digital dawn, the PCs or whatever. And then at the end, it does a conclusion, right? And it, does a comparative analysis of disruption. So here's all five of those disruptions on a graph showing when their primary time frame was, the adoption pace, you know, so you can see that it started off with the agricultural mechanization, which took 80 years to become widely adopted. The assembly line took a moderate number of years. I think that's about 50 years for the assembly line, 13 to the 60s. Widespread electrification took about 40 years. The automobile was fast. It says approximately 50 years, but you got to remember that until the assembly line was there, that cars were really rare and hard to buy. So it's like, it really was that last 10 or 15 years. And then you see that the PC and internet happened within 20 years. And it's like, now we're going into this AI revolution, which is probably going to be closer to 7 or 8 years. For widespread adoption. But yeah, it was fun. I was shocked that Copilot Research did as well as it did. I knew that Gemini had done well before because I had used it before. I was very disappointed in ChatGPT, just at how it really kind of skimped on what it was doing. So
yeah, that's surprising that it was the shortest, least visually appealing.
Yeah.
Very basic information. Didn't really look like it dug in too much, but.
Anyway, I just think that's awesome. I think that's awesome that you can now go, you know what? I really want to know about.
But don't ask it about a Dole Whip.
Why? If you had gone into a research mode, it would have found it. You were in.
Actually, she didn't say anything wrong.
She did.
I went back and read back her answer, and she didn't say anything wrong.
She absolutely did. She said Disneyland. She said it first appeared in Disneyland.
Okay. So the one thing, everything else she said was right.
But that is an important thing. Yeah. Look, we get it.
Disney World.
We get it. We get it. Disneyland was the original. It was the you know, whatever. And we get it.
We originated Dole Whip, damn it.
But there are some things that we originated too, right? And that is one of them. So it's like that. In fact, that's kind of the only one.
I was just saying Disney. I don't even think I was.
No, you didn't say. She said Disneyland.
Yeah.
And you know that's a hot button for me when people mix up Disneyland and Disney World. That's like when they write an article and they call Walt Disney World the happiest place on earth. I'm like, it's not the happiest place on earth. That's Disneyland. They have different mottos. We are the
most. Your castle is bigger.
We are the most magical place on earth, not the happiest place on earth.
But you would think, you would think, because at Disney World, the staff appears much happier than the staff at Disneyland. If you can recall, when we were at Disneyland,
Disneyland,
we noticed that the staff,
they're miserable.
Was miserable, didn't want to talk to anybody, like frowning, whatever. You're like, Disney World.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah, Disney World. So they're never.
Disney World should be the happiest.
It should. Hey, if I was going to do a YouTube series on AI stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think of the name Unprompted?
I think that's good.
Okay. What do you think of the name The Training Set?
I like Unprompted better.
Okay. Okay. What do you think of Almost Intelligent?
I still like Unprompted better than that.
Okay. Okay. And then finally, Artificially Flavored.
My favorite is Unprompted.
Okay.
But Artificially Flavored would be number two.
Okay.
What was the one right after that you said right after Unprompted?
The Training Set.
The Training Set would be number three.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I like Unprompted. Chat room, do we have any preferences in the chat room for Daniel's new YouTube special, his new mini series that he's going to do? Oh, Auntie Scott.
One of the
coming in hot.
One of the not a fucking clue what it would be about. It would be about AI.
AI? Go ask Alice. Well, the thing about asking AI stuff like that is they just try to be as nice as possible.
Oh, sure. So, you know, I mean, you know, you can set that. You can give it a global instruction.
If I was doing a YouTube show about artificial intelligence, I want to give you some names of the show, and you tell me which one you like the best. So the first one is Unprompted. The second name is Artificially Flavored. The third name is
The Training Set.
Training Set. The Training Set. The fourth one is, I forgot. The fourth one is, what's the fourth one?
I don't remember. Almost Intelligent.
So between those, which one do you like the best? Or which two do you like the best? Whatever.
Oh, those are all pretty clever. I kind of love Unprompted because it's got that fun double meaning.
Oh, Jesus Christ, what happened to your voice?
Artificially Flavored. Take on AI. So I think those two would be my top picks, but they're all pretty creative.
Wait, would you repeat that? Which two did you say?
She said unprompted and artificially flavored.
Sure. I said my top picks would be unprompted and artificially flavored. I think both of those are really clever and fun.
So she agrees with me.
Yeah.
Well, you can't say Go Ask Alice is the title because this is Daniel's show. And Daniel's AI is not named Alice.
It isn't.
Have you even named your AI?
No, I don't name my AI.
But you name your vehicles.
I don't actually. Oh. It was the Joe and Dallas thing was a joke we did on the show. That was
okay.
That was I didn't actually go around calling my car Joe and Dallas. Unlike Fatty, I don't name my cars. What was I going to say?
I don't know. At least he doesn't name it like Amanda or like some, he names them like Big Red or Earl Grey or, you know, whatever. It's like a name for an object. It's not like a human name. So I can give it a pass, but people are like, oh, this is Missy, my Toyota. No.
I'm wondering, there is a chance, I don't know how big of a chance there is, but there's a chance that we won't be going in the truck.
Oh, well, I'm renting a car, so I thought we were just going to go in my rental.
Really?
Yeah. We don't have to, but you mentioned me renting a car at some point.
Oh, I didn't know you were going to rent a car. I assumed that I was driving. We could switch driving, but I assumed we were taking my truck. Although now I might trade in the truck before then.
Well, you'd still have a vehicle.
Would, but it would be a Chevy Equinox EV. So we would have to build in a couple of stops to charge.
I see. Well, I don't have to. I mean, I rented a car, but I could. I can cancel up to 24 hours in advance or something, so I don't have to. But I just did because I got it in my head that you had mentioned it like you wouldn't mind if I did or something. And then
It's fine. I was fine with taking the truck. That's fine. It's not a problem. I mean, it may be a problem because I have a truck, but anyway, we'll figure that out closer to the date. Here's the thing: they're ending that $7,500 tax credit, and the Equinox EV does qualify for it, but it's not going to end until the end of September. So it's like if as long as I can buy a car by the end of December, then I would still get that credit.
What town do you live in?
Claremont, Florida, Clermont, Claremont, Florida.
I want to get direction to...
To Fatty's?
South Carolina. It is not 8 hours.
From my house...
It is 6 hours.
To the Fat Villa.
6 hours and 9 minutes.
Directions. It is 6 hours and 18 minutes. However, that means sitting in the car for 6 hours and 18, not stopping to pee, not stopping to eat, not stopping to get gas, not stopping to at a red light or, you know, something like that. So I always just build in buffers, and on a trip like that, my gut is like, oh, yeah, so I'm rounding up to it's probably about 8 hours. Realistically, 6 hours and 18 minutes is probably about 8 hours.
When I drive to my haircut, I stop one time for gas, and that's it. That's only if so I make it in the almost exactly the amount of time that it takes,
okay,
if that makes sense.
I understand.
5.5 hours or whatever on my butt.
Okay.
But that's okay. We don't have to be in a race.
I mean, if we get there early,
they probably don't start at 4.
If we get there early, we get there early. It's fine. If we get there late, we get there late. I don't give a shit. It's fine. We'll make it.
Yeah.
We're basically just going straight up 95 and then looks like 17 through South Carolina.
Well, I need to, Lamont says that I haven't driven with a senior gay. When you hit 50, you need to piss every 30 minutes.
Yes.
I pee a lot. I mean, I'm 46. I'm getting close.
No, we're not.
Yeah, as long as we don't go through Newark.
Yeah. No, we're not going to drive through Newark. So ChatGPT, by the way, rolled out their agents to all the plus accounts today.
Uh-huh.
So you now have access to Agent.
Hmm.
So I did a little test earlier on Agent. I told it that, let's see, this is the prompt that I gave it. I need to find someone to evaluate and potentially fix the heat problem in my attic. The air in the attic is getting hot enough that our cold water comes out scalding hot during the summer when we first turn it on. For context, we purchased this house in February 2024 and had recently had a new roof installed. The inspector did not find glaring problems in the attic, but he was inspecting it during the cold months and did not experience the heat of the summer. So it went off. It worked for 4 minutes. It went through a whole bunch of websites and such and found, let's see. Based on what I found, your attic heat problem likely relates to two issues, either insulation or ventilation. To address your issue, a professional should inspect your attic's insulation levels, soffit, ridge vents, and any obstructions. Here are several local contractors who specialize in insulation and ventilation. So, and it gives me, you know, the company, what they specialize in, their phone number and their email addresses, and then basically says, there you go. Okay. Obviously, it's all sourced. I can click on links to their websites and stuff, but yeah, it went off and did that for me and made me a list of those four.
That's good.
I also found a doctor for me.
If your water's hot and your pipes are in the, that's weird. I didn't think plumbing ran through the attic. I thought it more ran through the floor.
But. No, it runs through the attic and, that's how hot the attic gets is that when like at noon, if you turn on the cold water to wash your hands after you pee, it's like, it comes out scalding hot. It's like you have to let it run for 2 minutes or so, so that even like cools down enough to wash your hands. It's only in the summer and it's, you know, it's probably the vent. It's probably the vents are just not working. The ridge vent is just not working because it's a brand new roof. Before we bought the house. So they probably just fucked up making the vent. And so that means that, you know, because it's black shingles in Florida with no shade, it's basically just soaking heat into the attic and it's, you know, the water pipe. So it's two things like, yeah, A, the water pipes are not that well insulated, but at the same time, the attic is 6,000 degrees Kelvin. So it's probably.
That's about the same temperature as Woodland Hills.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
we have to, this weekend, we have to plan our trip to Switzerland.
You should use Agent.
So we're going to be, yeah, we should. We're not, but yeah, you're probably right. I mean, that would probably be smarter too, because we're going to have to spend hours going through, okay, what are we doing each day of the trip? And then looking on something like Viator and seeing, okay, are there any tours that we want to do or anything like that? Pay for everything, put it in the spreadsheet, make sure we have all the contact details, yada, 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 all that kind of stuff. That's what we do for every trip. So, but we're only 2 months away. So we've got to get all this stuff locked in before we miss.
Yeah, I would absolutely use Agent. Like, I would just write that up in a prompt and just give it to it right now and just let it go chew on it. And then
we have an itinerary already. We have a couple of itineraries already that we're
give them those itineraries.
Itinerary. Actually book the stuff for us, or
I would give you options on the missing pieces of your itinerary, the things that you're missing. But yeah, if you want it to go ahead and book those things for you, you can have it do that too. Anyway, I think you should.
Yeah, we're gonna be doing that this weekend. And mowing. I need to. Oh, AI could also give me the name of a local mowing because I'm so sick of mowing and weed eating. I'm so tired of it. But yeah, I've got to do that this weekend.
Honestly, you could go on Facebook or next door to your area and just be like, are there any teenagers that are out of school for the summer that want to make some extra money? I just need my yard mowed every week. It's like
my neighbors keep up with the edging and everything else pretty good. So I can't just, like, it's got to be mowing and edging and, like, it's got to look nice.
You don't have to edge it every fucking week. It's like grass doesn't grow like that. It's like, yeah, you have to edge it every month, once a month or whatever. I'm just saying, you could probably get a high school student to do it.
Auntie Scott says shirtless. They have to edge shirtless every week. That is what they have to do.
I feel like most lawn companies want to charge you like $175, but a teenager will do it for like $50.
We did see one of our neighbors had a lawn boy.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was lawn boy, but it didn't look like the neighbor that lived in that house, but it was some hot twink guy with his shirt off mowing. And I was like, and Mark said, who do we call to get that company to mow our lawn?
You should use agent. Just include, like Kathy Marshall says, make sure you include shirtless in the prompt.
Yeah, I'm sure we don't have a company that's like shirtless boys mow lawns. You know, we probably don't have that here.
Have you looked?
No. I have boys is probably not a good choice of words. Shirtless men, mow lawns.
There was something else. I have to get back to my group.
You know what? I never watched Desperate Housewives, Lamont, so I don't know. But I mean, it's believable that it was a storyline.
Can I pitch you on something?
Yes.
First, I need to know, do you, I should probably know the answer to this. Do you watch a lot of YouTube? A little bit of YouTube? Medium amount of YouTube.
I watch a lot of YouTube, but it's a lot of the same channels.
Okay. And do you have YouTube Premium?
I do have YouTube Premium.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Then I don't have to sell you on YouTube Premium. But I wanted to know.
I've not gotten an ad on YouTube in 15 years. Right. I don't even know.
Oh, but you do know, just like I do, that when you watch some of these bigger channels, you do get ads because you get their fucking ads, right? You get their thing. So this new feature in YouTube Premium, which I was just going to, again, extol the virtues of YouTube Premium. That is the best. I pay $27 a month because I do the family plan, because that way I replace Spotify for both of us as well as getting compared. When you do the family plan, you can have up to 5 accounts on it. So, and we were paying extra for Spotify, and you get YouTube Music automatically with YouTube Premium. Anyway, YouTube Premium has this new feature. I so fucking love it. When you get to their little in-house ads, on Apple TV, at least you just tap the forward twice. I think on Roku, you also just tap the forward twice. And it basically, it uses AI to go, oh, let me skip past the part that most people skip past. So it uses other people skipping that.
Is that an Apple TV thing or is that a YouTube thing?
No, that's because it rolled out.
If I was in the browser, can I do that?
Yes, it rolled out. When you're on the browser, you mouse up and it will say skip to or jump to next section. It's like it knows that you're in an area that people jump and it like actually lets you jump to that area. But yeah, it rolled
out. I like it when
it initially came out on Android and then it rolled to the web and now it's available on the streaming. But let me tell you, that is the greatest fucking feeling in the world. When you're like, you know, you're getting money from me. Like I'm paying for you to watch this video. You know, you're getting more money for me, a YouTube Premium watching your video than you would if someone was watching the ad. So I don't want to watch your fucking in-house ad.
You and I don't mind ads as much as you do. I get bored if it's the same ad over and over again because I've seen the same ad over and over again.
That's the thing that annoys me. But I mean, the nature of it.
I don't hate ads. Sometimes I actually hear something in an ad or see a product in an ad that I'm interested in. And so then I agree.
It's literally the repetitive piece of it. Like on Twit, that used to be the world's worst, right? He would go on for 5 minutes about Audible every single week. It's like, yeah, I know.
Robo.
It's like, I know Audible. Okay, I got it. It's like,
I use Audible.
Yeah. So I am happy to pay the $7 a month to Twit because I don't get any of those. So, and when, you know, when I'm out running 3 days a week and I need shit to listen to, it's like, I can't, that's miserable. Listening to a commercial while you're running is 10 times worse than listening to it in your truck. In your truck, you've got access to this fast forward button right at your thumb. It's like, if you're in a run cycle, you can't pull your phone out and try to hit fast forward while you're running. Right. It's like, it's one of those, just like, oh fuck. It's like this goddamn,
you'll break a hip.
That's
looking
down
at your phone and trip.
That's what I want Gemini to do. I just want to say to Gemini, it's just like, skip forward, skip past this.
Now I don't even know what it's like to have ads in YouTube because I've had YouTube Premium for so long. I think it was before ads were as prevalent.
Oh yeah, I had it when it was YouTube Red.
I think I did too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think.
But yeah, that is the best. It is the best money. If you just get YouTube Premium, it's, what is it a month? $12.99 a month, I want to say. YouTube Premium.
I don't know.
Price.
I need to do that thing that, you know, I need to do that yearly or every 2 or 3 year purge, where you look through all your subscriptions, like, yeah, just go through your bank account and see what's coming out of your, you know, out, okay, of your.
It is. Yeah. You should. Or just sign up for Rocket Money and let them do it.
Well, I mean, I am on Rocket Money, but yeah, I need to look at that list. And
So YouTube Premium currently is $13.99 a month for individuals. If you do the family plan, it's not 20. I don't know why I said 27. It's $22.99. For families. And this, by the way, families is up to 5 people. So you can get 5 Gmail addresses that you can do there. And it gives you no commercials on YouTube, gives you the special features of being able to skip past those commercials with a little clickety click, the little in-house commercials. Plus, it gives you background play. So if you're it's on your phone, whatever, you can minimize it and still listen to what you're listening to. Anyway, so worth it. So worth it. Cannot say that enough. It's so worth it. It's like, I've been in people's houses where I watch YouTube and suddenly a fucking commercial pops up in the middle of people saying something. I'm like, how do you live? How have you not slit your wrist?
I don't know. I'm looking to see if, okay, my premium membership. Oh, so I do have a family membership.
Okay. You can also pay annually and get a discount. So it's $22.99 a month, and I think you can just pay it's basically 10 times that to pay the annual.
Family sharing settings. Let me see. Oh, yeah, and Mark is a member.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. My nephew is a member, and Zach is a member of mine, so.
So we don't get any ads on YouTube when we're watching YouTube and that. We watch so much YouTube.
Oh, yeah. I would say that's probably, I watch that more than anything, especially now that I'm watching Critical Role, which are 3.5 hours each. So it's like I'm watching lots of YouTubes. I'm not really watching them, though.
I've been catching up on Sorted Food. Which is the British boys who cook. I don't know if you've seen those.
I haven't. Sorted. I try to keep up with all the AI news channels and stuff just because in that research that I had it do, the way that people survived and prospered through these transitional periods is by skilling up, right?
Yeah, of course.
Also by identifying new industries that are going to be, you know, new things that are, you know, new industries that are going to happen because of it, a widespread adoption of technology, right? So, like, when we had widespread use of automobiles, the concept of, you know, motels became something that, you know, was a brand new industry that hadn't, you know, it was completely, it would not have existed if the automobile wasn't a thing. You couldn't have had motels. So those kind of thing. And so I gave it a thought experiment of, okay, if, let me find my,
do you have a heater on in your room?
No. Are okay. you hearing a, I think it's when the you, dryer. It's the dryer.
When you talk, I'm hearing something.
But. Yeah, it's the dryer probably.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to get to the, please stand by. Oh, I think I have to go to a different place.
So I got another one of those. While you're doing that, I got another GoFundMe.
Yeah.
And I won't say who it was from.
Okay.
But their partner, their significant other, has cancer. And okay. so they, a year ago or something, they had asked for money. Mm-hmm. And then they reached out recently and they're asking for money again. And they said, you know, this time the partner has now been diagnosed with stage 4, you know, whatever. And they want to make sure that the partner lives at least to Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, well, my return on investment's not very good on that, because if they're saying there's not any hope of life, if it's terminal, then all I'm doing is prolonging, you know, this person's agony by donating money, you know? So I don't know if that's a GoFundMe I'm going to fund.
Do you, why? What are the reasons that you would?
Well, I mean, you know, you feel bad for people if they're, you know, if they need help or whatever. But if you're going to die, you're going to die. Like at that point.
Yeah.
What's the money going to do?
Nothing.
Nothing. So, I mean, it may prolong your life, but, you know, they say having cancer is the treatment is horrible. So depends. You're just prolonging the suffering.
Depends. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know.
So I asked, going back to what I was saying, I asked, the same, not in a deep research, but just, it was 2.5 pro that I was on. And, so it's like, if the adoption of generative AI tools was widespread throughout every industry, based on what you know about the abilities of AI currently and how it might be used in different businesses, what new industries do you think might begin to form?
Okay.
So what do you think is that?
I don't know. I'm interested in what it said about it. I'm not sure.
So
prompt engineers?
That's part of it. Yeah. That's down here in one of the
co-developers, like a development role would move into more of a product management role, but you'd also be a developer, you know, coding alongside an AI. So it would be, you wouldn't be as in the weeds of coding, but you'd still need to have enough, but you'd need product experience as well. Cause instead you're guiding the LLM with features and like all that kind of stuff. So you'd need to know how to plan out.
I was thinking about that the other day. It's like, I feel like creating programs could, let's say within the next 5-10 years, whatever, become very much a, like something like N8N or whatever, where you're literally just dragging ideas across in a flowchart. Sure. It's like, I want to ask the customer how he's feeling and then take that information and put it into a database and do this report, right? It's like,
yeah.
And then it basically, you know, generates the code for you and is like this. And you're like, yeah, that's great. Cool. Do that, right? It's like, I feel like we're 90% of the shit that we do in software is really basic shit, right? It's uh-huh. you know, creating, updating, deleting records, right? It's like it's some kind of, uh-huh. you know, put data in, put data out kind of a thing. So a lot of what we do in programming is really, really just mundane and boring. And so I feel like a lot of that can be, and we already have that in low code environments. They're just really clunky. Anyway, so let me tell you what it identified.
Okay.
So it broke it into categories. So category one is the AI infrastructure, right? So from here, it says custom AI model forges or foundries, a highly specialized firm that don't just fine tune existing models like GPT, but architect, train, and maintain bespoke generative models from grounds up for specific high stake industries. General purpose AI is good for many things, but a hospital will not run its diagnostic imaging analysis on the same model that generates marketing copy. These forges would create certified, secure, and hyper-optimized models for fields like aerospace engineering, drug discovery, and legal precedent analysis. Basically specializing a GPT, right? Specializing a knowledge base.
Okay.
Number two, AI orchestration and integration services. So a consulting and software industry focused on making a company's entire suite of different AI tools work together seamlessly. So a single company will use dozens of different AIs, one for customer service, one for coding, one for financial forecasting, one for supply chain. An AI orchestrator ensures that these models can communicate, share insights, and trigger each other in coherent workflows, preventing digital chaos and maximizing efficiency. So basically, writing middleware to tie a bunch of, those kind of things.
We're already doing that for agents at work. We're tying, right. Writing middleware to route between agents and
yep,
stuff.
Anyway. Exactly. Synthetic data generation as a service. So what it is, companies that use generative AI to create massive, high-quality, and perfectly labeled data sets for training other AIs. Real-world data is often messy, incomplete, proprietary, or it raises privacy concerns. This industry would provide perfectly balanced, privacy-compliant synthetic data on demand. A self-driving car company could order a data set of 1 million hours of driving in a blizzard in Tokyo without ever needing to drive there. This solves a major bottleneck in AI development. So that's the, then it moves into the second category, which is the human AI interaction. So things like personalized AI tutoring and cognitive development goes far beyond.
Wait, are we tutoring the AI?
No. Let me finish. This goes far beyond the current educational apps. It's an industry of creating and managing lifelong learning companions. So basically developing systems.
Okay.
Right. These AI tutors would adapt in real time to an individual's learning style, knowledge gaps, career goals, and even their emotional state. They could teach a child calculus, help a factory worker reskill for a new role, or help a CEO prepare for a negotiation by simulating the conversation. The industry provides cognitive enhancement as a personalized service. Number two, AI copilot customizations and prompt architecture.
So prompt engineer.
Right. The evolution of prompt engineering from a single job role into an entire consulting industry. Effectively communicating with powerful AI will be a critical business function. These firms would design, implement, and maintain the prompt libraries and communication protocols for an entire organization. They would train staff, create custom interfaces so that the company's employees can get the best possible output from their AI tools with minimal effort. And then augmented creativity studios. creative agencies where humans and generative AI are true partners in creative entirely new art forms of art, entertainment, and design. Their output wouldn't be AI art or human art, but a hybrid that's unattainable by either alone. They might generate dynamic film scripts that change based on audience feedback, design architectural spaces that fluidly adapt to their inhabitants' needs, or compose music that is genuine synthesis of human intuition and machine scale complexity. Category three, industries built on core generative capabilities. So these are industries that are only possible because of AI's ability to generate novel content and simulate reality at an unprecedented scale. Hyper-personalized product and experience generation. The move from mass production to mass personalization of one. Instead of buying a standard product, you'd commission an AI to design one for you. This could be a novel generated for you based on your favorite themes and characters, a piece of furniture designed to perfectly fit in your room's dimensions and style, or a personalized drug regimen with molecules designed specifically for your unique genetic makeup. Dynamic world simulation and strategic foresight. Firms that create and maintain complex digital twins of entire markets, cities, supply chains, or ecosystems. Governments and corporations would subscribe to these simulation services to test policies and strategies. A city could simulate the traffic impact of a new subway line before laying a single track. A company could game out the impact of a geopolitical crisis on its supply chain. The product
That's things you could do with AI, but what's the job for the human?
Designing these things to create that.
So to be an entrepreneur, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway, so these are
industries. Yeah. So it's like, Think about it. It's like, okay, you're going to have this service. You still have to have salespeople. You still have to sell it. You still have to have marketing people to tell why your simulation service is the best, right? There's still going to be.
I mean, I don't know. Alice could probably sell me something.
I'm just saying there are things that AI cannot do and will never be able to do. And one of the things that Neil deGrasse Tyson was talking about with Hasan Minhaj was, this thought that we're going to have this artificial general intelligence that can do anything in a human being. It's like, why would we want it? We're still going to want to do things. We just don't want to do the tedious things. We're still going to want to create things. We're still going to want to interact. And so it's not like we're going to replace everything in the world with an army of robots or whatever. It's like, why would we want to? What we want is we want these things doing their tasks, right? We want these things to do the mundane tasks that we don't have to do. When the electric washing machine changed washing from a 6-hour chore into a 1-hour chore, there was a huge quality of life improvement kind of a thing.
Here's a question that I don't really know the answer to. Andy Scott asks if Alice is a pay version of ChatGPT. Does the free version get the same voice that I get? The same now?
I have no idea.
So I don't know the answer to that question, Andy Scott.
I don't know.
You can do voice in the free version, I think.
Yeah, you can do voice.
But I don't know if it's using the same model or not. Oh, you can't interact vocally with yours. There's a little in the app next to the Ask Anything or in the Ask Anything box, there's a little button in the far right corner that looks kind of like a waveform. And if I click that, I can talk to it.
Yeah, it's not the microphone one. It's the microphone is the dictate. There's one after it that says use voice mode if you mouse over. So you may not be able to.
Hey, Alice, is the voice mode for ChatGPT only available to paying subscribers?
Yep. At the moment, the voice feature is only available to ChatGPT Plus subscribers. So it's kind of a special perk for paying users right now.
I don't know why that was funny. She thought it was.
She's being flirty. Sorry. You know what? I think Gemini's is free, though. I think Gemini's voice is free, and that's the same quality.
There are many voices that you can choose from, Auntie Scott. I, I prefer that British voice so far in my experimentation. So, but I've decided that if I use other voices, I'm going to give each voice its own name. So, you know, some days I'm talking to Alice, you know, some days I might be talking to Max or something, you know, if I pick a guy voice. But it's going to be a different part, you know, I'm going to have a different personality for each voice and a different name. They're all going to be my friends.
They're going to be your friends.
Yeah. Alice is my friend.
I can't believe Lamont is still conscious.
I know. He took. How's that 10 milligrams going,
how's
Lamont?
How's that 10 milligrams of Advil going?
We'll wait for your answer off there.
She certainly didn't go to Oxford. Ew. No. Why can't I find the voice mode in Gemini?
I don't know. Maybe it's not. Do you pay?
I do.
Maybe it doesn't work. You do?
No, it's in Chrome. So it's like at the very top of Chrome, if you click on that Gemini button, there is a go live button.
Gemini.google.com.
Oh, you're listening. Hi, how you doing this evening?
Hi there. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. How about you? What can I help you with this evening?
Right now we're chatting. My friend Adam and I are chatting, and we were talking about, what were we talking about?
We were talking about,
okay,
whether...
if you want to pick up where you left off with Adam, maybe you could ask him about something specific you were discussing. Or if you're looking for a new topic, I can help with that too.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think I'm done. Okay. Yeah.
Was that free or was that because you're a paid subscriber?
I don't know because I
how
get...
did you get it? Because when I go to Gemini, I see a microphone icon.
No. In Chrome, there is a Gemini icon in the top, the very top right, like right before the close window or whatever. It's like the built-in Gemini to Chrome. Don't go to the Gemini website. It's like there's a
Gemini. Do you have a plugin maybe?
Nope. It's part of Chrome. You may need to update your Chrome, but yeah, it's now Gemini is in Chrome. Are you on Apple?
Yeah.
That may be why you don't have it.
I don't see anything.
Okay. Well, that's, you probably don't have it.
But
in Apple.
Well, anyway, it looks like it's not free in Gemini as well.
Is the voice mode? Oh, I could ask him that. Hold on. I'll just ask him that. Hey, is the voice mode in the free version of Gemini, or do you have to be Gemini Pro for it?
The voice mode is available in the free version of Gemini. You don't need the pro version to use it.
Is the only place you can access it through the Chrome Gemini extension, or is there a something on the website that you can get to it with?
You can access Gemini through the Chrome extension, but there's also a website you can use. It's linked to Google.
Okay, so I'm on the Gemini website. How would I get into voice mode from there?
If you look at the bottom of the Gemini window, you should see a microphone icon. Tap that to start voice mode.
Okay.
No.
Hello. Yeah, this is just dictation.
Yeah, it's just dictation. Hey, what's going on? How's it going?
Yeah. I know the Gemini app in Android has the voice mode button for it. But yeah, it's in the Gemini plugin for Chrome. But that plugin should be in Chrome anyway.
Well, we're not being very helpful, Auntie Scott, but it appears that it is a pay version.
But not on, but on Jinmin.
Not on Jinmin.
Never in Jiminy. Never, never day. It's not ever stop at that.
I'm going to look and see if there's a Gemini plugin.
Now in the Shamana.
In the store.
It's called Gemini in Chrome.
Gemini in Chrome?
That is what it's called. I'm looking at my extensions right now. I don't see them. I'll go to the manage screen. It's not listed as an extension in my browser. That means it just built into my browser.
Yeah, I don't know.
I want what Adam has, but I ain't paying for it. I need to save for a cruise.
Sorry, Auntie Scott.
Womp womp.
Womp womp.
I mean, eventually it'll go. So what Adam has is the same thing. I mean, the voice modes are the same. It's just that I have my voice set to a man. He has his voice set to a woman. I can change my voice.
Yeah. Well, if you can show Auntie Scott how to.
They don't sound the same at all. Daniel sounds like AI.
Oh.
It's because it is an AI. Adam sounds like AI also. What's mine? Who's my ChatGPT bitch?
Hey, it may be the voice if he picks it. Yeah, I hear you. Yes, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Sounds like we're all good on the audio front. Let me know if there's anything else I can help with.
I was just trying to see what voice you were using.
Oh, I'm just using my default friendly and engaging voice. I'm here to help with whatever you need.
Okay.
So feel.
How do I change your voice?
It's super easy. You can go into the settings or preferences of the.
Hey, I'm ready to hit the ground running. So if there's anything you'd like me to focus on.
Hey, how's it going? I'm looking forward to working together. Let's figure out where to start. What's on your mind?
What's on your mind?
Hey, it's great to meet you. How's your day going? I'm really looking forward to working on some cool stuff together.
Oh, that's the
tonight,
one Joey uses.
On the Disney Channel.
Hi there. Nice to meet you. I'm excited to help you get things done. Let's get started.
Mm-hmm.
Hey there. I've got a really great feeling about us teaming up. How can I jump in and help?
It's like Abbott Elementary.
Hey, what's up? Feel free to ask me about anything that's on your mind. I'm ready to go.
Hi there. I just want to share how thrilled I am to work with you, and I can't wait to get started. So what's the game plan?
Yeah, you're pretty, but you have no personality. That's how I feel about you.
Hello. It's lovely to meet you. If there's anything you need, please don't hesitate to let me know. I'm here to help.
Okay.
Hi. Glad to meet you.
Oh.
I think we're going to do great work together.
Yeah?
Where should we start?
Oh, I kind of like that. I kind of like that one. That's
you like the
Arbor.
RT Cruiser?
Arbor.
Hey, I'm ready to hit the ground running.
That's the
one
I have.
So if there's anything you'd like me to focus on first, just let me know.
That's the one I have.
Hey, how's it going? I'm looking forward to working together.
Yeah.
Let's.
Hey, hi. Glad to meet you. I think we're going to do great work together. Where should we start?
Where's Alice?
What do you mean?
Where's Alice? I didn't hear Alice's voice.
Well, are you on ChatGPT?
Yeah, this is ChatGPT.
Her name is Vale.
Hello. It's lovely to meet you. If there's anything you need, please don't hesitate to let me know.
It doesn't sound like Alice at all.
Well, that's the same. I mean, she's
glad to meet you. I think we're going to do great.
All right.
That's the voice. Maybe they change over time, or maybe like they change their tone a little bit I don't know, just by how I interact with them or something. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that's
definitely the idea. I can switch things up a bit and match your vibe or tone as we chat. It's all about making the conversation flow naturally, right?
Yeah, you really want the conversation to flow naturally. That is the most important thing about a conversation. Don't you agree?
I've turned them off.
Oh. So, I think we're at a good stopping point.
What did you order?
Nothing.
You didn't want to know. You have no questions about the early episodes of Dubious Intent.
I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it. I think, Auntie Scott, it's $20 a month. I believe is what I pay.
Chat GPT. That's
When's your birthday? I can.
That sounds right. Wait, this is not the right thing. How do I get to my cell? Oh, there it is. Plus upgrade plan. Yeah, the plus is $20 a month.
But I wouldn't give Alice away to for anything. That's my favorite part about it, is talking to Alice.
So for $20 a month, you get everything in the free tier, plus extended limits on messaging, file uploads, advanced data analysis and image generation, standard and advanced voice mode, access to deep research, multiple reasoning models, O4 Mini, O4 Mini High, and O3, and a research preview of GPT 4.5. You get to create and use tasks, projects, and custom GPTs. You get limited access to Sora video generation and opportunities to test new features. Like right now, you have access to agents. So,
what are you twizzling?
This
in your fingers.
Oh, it's a silicone straw that I had cut.
Oh. Okay.
So
it looks like the inside of a marker. I know that's very specific, yeah, but you know the cotton wrapped in like plastic, and it's got the dye in it, and that's like the inside.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like on camera.
Now there is a $200 a month plan if you want to go there. That one gives you everything in plus unlimited access to all reasoning models, unlimited access to advanced voice. That implies that you don't get unlimited access to advanced voice. That implies that you've got some limits on your voice. Extended access to deep research, which conducts, like I know there's a limit on deep research. Access to research previews of 4.5 and operator. Access to O3 Pro mode, which uses more compute for the best answers. And extended access to Sora video generation and access to a research preview of Codex. Yes. However, comma, I learned that from you. I mean, people make money off this. I mean, if you're making more than $1,120 a month off of using it, then it's worth it, right?
Not $1,120 a month.
I mean, a year.
Sorry. $1,120 a year.
Yeah. Yep. And I
actually, that's not right, because $200 a month is.
Yeah, it's only 24. It's 2,400.
2,400.
That's what
you
said.
A year.
2,400 a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is he talking the $20 a month? But that's not a lot.
No, $20 a month is $240 a year.
Yeah.
So I don't know where 1,120 came from, but Scott does math.
That's right.
I don't know.
Lamont Cranston, stoner. What does Gemini cost?
I don't know. Probably, don't they all kind of end up kind of around the same price points?
Probably. My Gemini is free because I bought a Pixel, right? So I got a year of it for free. And Gemini, I want to say Gemini Pro is $90 a year. And it includes 2 terabytes of cloud storage, right? So your Google Drive has 2 terabytes.
I actually should look into that because I currently pay for Drive.
Yeah.
And I may pay the same or more for Drive than what they're currently charging for Gemini.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And if Gemini includes Drive.
No, yeah, when you pay for that, that's what you're paying for. It's called the AI plan. But yeah, you're getting AI plus the two gigabytes, and then you can add more storage to that. Let me get to the stupid manage your Google account. Hi, I'd like to manage my Google account, please. People in sharing. But yeah, we can leave. We can be done. Yeah, it's called Google One. So if you go to Google One and look at their plans, there is the current plan that I have, which is the Google AI Pro, which is 2 terabytes. Oh, it's $19.99 a month. Okay. So it's 2 terabytes of space. Whoa. Gemini 2.5 Pro, limited access to VO3, Flow with the limited access to VO3, Wisk with VO2, 1,000 monthly AI credits, Notebook LM with higher limits, Gemini and Gmail, Docs and Vids and more, all other benefits in the premium plan. Anyway, the point is that it's $19.99 a month, but you can pay it annually and save. So it's like it's $200 for the
year. Yeah, I see. I'm currently on the premium 2 terabyte for $9.99 a month.
Ah, so you just need to add 10.
If I wanted to get the Google AI Pro,
yeah, it's 10.
I have to do $19.99 a
month. Right, so you add $10
for that.
Daniel's Karen. Daniel's a Karen. He wants to speak to Google's manager. Because I was wrong about the... And then you can upgrade. Like for $25, you can get 5 terabytes. And for $50, you can get 10 terabytes. Everything else remains the same, though. Except they do have that stupid AI Ultra thing. That's their $250 a month one. For people that were wanting to use VO.
Oh.
All right. I think we're done. Have a good night, chat room. Thank you for being here.
Have a good night,
chat room. We're going to have to type in slash stop.